I'm talking to you about learn to live where you live. Now, I think that would be very good if I moved to Russia. I would need to learn to live in Russia because I wouldn't know how to do that. You're with Campus Crusade, and at the end today, you guys are going to be kind of back in the back somewhere, wherever you will. And if some of you might have an interest in their ministry or just want to ask them anything about their ministry, they'll be back there. We're glad to have you here. Thank you so very much for coming. Well, I want you to open your Bible to page 1004 is what that signboard says, and I'm going to open my Bible. You're on page 1004, and we'll look at some scripture in a moment in the book of Romans in chapter number 7. You know, when our family moved from Lenoir City, Tennessee, and Lenoir City, Tennessee is like about 18 miles outside of Knoxville, Tennessee. Today, it's just all one place. But when we lived there, there was about an 18 miles just beautiful scenery between Lenoir City and Knoxville. Today, it just all kind of hooks together. But when we moved from there, 9 years we were there, and we moved from there to Sulphur Springs, Texas, that's East Texas, we experienced things that we had not anticipated. We found living in East Texas to be very, very different than living in East Tennessee. And one of the things we missed so very much was in the Knoxville area. You know, Tennessee is a very unusual state in that on Saturday, when the University of Tennessee is at home in the football season, Knoxville, Tennessee, that stadium itself is the fourth largest city in the state. I mean, everything in Knoxville area is just built around the University of Tennessee, and they really used to have good football. And they've been going through some kind of lean years, and now they've hired one of Coach Saban's assistants. You know, Coach Saban seems to be just sending all of his assistants all over the SEC to coach, and so I'm sure they'll get better, but it'll sure take time. But it used not to be. I mean, the stadium seats over 100,000 people. And for 9 years, our family, we went to every home game. Probably we may have missed one or two, but I don't think so. And especially to John and Joel, that was really a big deal. They were little guys then, and going to the games on Saturday was quite a thing. Now, when we moved away from there and went to Sulphur Springs, I must say we missed our Saturdays at Neyland Stadium. That was like a big whole day just fun deal. People go to the stadium. If you ever watch it on TV, they go up the Tennessee River in their boats, and they park right at Neyland Stadium. It's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. Well, we missed that. And then number two, we missed the Great Smoky Mountains. We love the mountains. Of course, you know I go back there about once a year, sometimes twice, and has so many memories of all of that. But we missed that. And but, you know, everywhere is different. Well, one day, we'd been in Sulphur Springs about 6 months. I bump into this guy in a restaurant, and the man introduces himself, and here's how he introduced himself. He said, "My name is Paul Bennett, and you're Dr. Edmond. You're the pastor, the new pastor of First Baptist Church, and I've not met you." He said, "I'm a dentist in this town." And he said, "I am a member of First Methodist Church." That turned me off immediately. The dentist part was bad enough, but to say I'm a member first, I said, "Well," he said, "but you and I have something in common." And I said, "Well, Dr. Bennett, what do we have in common?" That fascinated me. I'd never met the man. He said, "Well, I'm from Athens, Georgia. You were raised there." I said, "Well, that's right." I said, "You mean you grew up in Athens, Georgia?" He said, "All my life, till I came here." And I knew then he would be my new dentist, and he was. And but one day, while at his dentist's office, he doing some dental work on me, I said to him, I said, "Dr. Bennett, let me ask you a question." I said, you grew up in Athens, Georgia. Now, in Athens, and by the way, I'll be in Athens, Georgia tomorrow. You know, my uncle still lives there, who's like my brother, and he's 10 years older than I am. And he called a few weeks ago and said he needed to visit with me. And so I'm going tomorrow, and I'll come back Thursday. I'll have a real quick trip to Athens, Georgia tomorrow. But in Athens, like the University of Georgia is the same thing in Athens that the University of Tennessee is in Knoxville. I mean, Athens, if you took the University of Georgia out of the city, there wouldn't be a lot of city left. Well, Knoxville will be very much the same way. It's just everything's built around the school in Athens. And the University of Georgia, of course, on Saturday, everybody goes to see the ball game, etc. And I said, Paul, let me ask you. I said, when you moved here, you left Athens and you came here, did you go through any kind of adjustments? I said, I'm finding it to be very different than what I've been used to. He said, oh, I did find. He said, I missed going to all those ball games on Saturday. He went down that memory lane. And I said, well, tell me how you dealt with it. He said, well, I'll tell you exactly how I dealt with it. It's how you'll have to deal with it. And he gave me some of the best counsel that I've ever had in my life, and I never had heard it said the way he said it. It's really, a Methodist giving me counsel. A Dennis Methodist giving the parson of the Baptist church counsel. And what he said is this. He said, here's what I learned. You have to learn to live where you live. And I didn't understand it. I had to process that a while. But, you know, I thought about that. When we left Atlanta, Georgia, to come to Fort Worth, Texas, to go to seminary, we had to learn to live in Fort Worth, Texas. We had never been to Texas, ever. And we came there to go to school. When we left there to go to Tennessee after seminary, we had to learn to live there. As I thought about what Dr. Bennett said, then when we left there and went to Sulphur Springs, after Dr. Bennett's wisdom, I thought, you know, guy's right. I've got to learn to live where I live. Then when I left there after 9 years and came here, I had to learn how to live here. The fact of the matter is as you move about in life, even physically, but in other ways, you have to learn to live where you live. Now, there you say, well, that's all interesting. Maybe to you, Pastor, it didn't really interest us so much. But thank you for letting me share it with you. But it has spiritual application. It's very true. We have to learn to live where we live spiritually. And this is what the Apostle Paul was talking about in Romans chapter 7. Now, look with me in Romans chapter 7, page... they've taken that off the screen. It's whatever page you're on now. Romans chapter 7. Look down with me about verse... look down verse 15. Let's just pick up in verse 15 for time's sake. Paul said, for what I'm doing... Now, this is Apostle Paul. He's a believer. He's a Christian man. He's a follower of Christ. And he said, and here's his testimony. He said, what I'm doing, I don't understand. For what I will to do, that is what I want to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. Well, he's got a struggle going on here. And he says in verse 16, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that is in that it is good. Verse 17, but now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me. In other words, he said, I want to do the right thing, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that is what I practice. That's what I do. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Now, that's in a nutshell, what Paul's saying is what you and I say often, at least ourselves. You know, we're Christian people. I hope everyone in the room is a Christian person. If not, I would pray and do that you would place your faith and trust in Christ, because in the end, that will be all that matters. But in the meantime, let's just assume we're all Christians. I know I'm a Christian, but the fact of the matter is sometimes I do things that I don't want to do, and I don't do things that I know I should do. Like, part of me wants to do right, think right, and react right, and obey what the Bible says, but then yet there's that other part of me, this warfare that we go on between, that's what Paul's talking about. He was kind of wordy saying it, but that's the bottom line of what he's saying. I mean, like, many times we really, based on what we know the Word of God teaches, that's what in our heart we want to do, but yet somehow or another it doesn't work out. See, the bottom line is this. We live our lives every day in a spiritual war. And what we have to do, we have to learn to live where we live. And if a sincere Christian, you need to hear this statement, it's true. If a very sincere Christian does not understand this, they will become very frustrated and very disillusioned. Now, if they're casual believer, it won't even cross their mind. But if they're a sincere believer and they really want to do what God's Word teaches to do, act, say, etc., what the Bible teaches, but yet somehow at this time, that time, whatever, fall a little short here and fall a little short there, then all kind of thoughts begin to run through their mind like, well, maybe really, you know, maybe I'm not really a Christian. If I were, I wouldn't have acted like that. Or, you know, maybe this stuff in the Bible is, you know, really not right. And see, Satan always plants these doubts. But here's the deal. We just have to understand we have to live where we live. And in the Christian life, there's this battle, there's this tug of war between the spirit and the flesh. Your spirit wants to do the right thing, and then the flesh wants to do the opposite from that. And every day, it's like a war of doubt and faith. You know, I know God says this, and I need to trust God, but then we begin to, well, that's a spiritual war going on. Now, I understand that kind of stuff is going to go on, and we all go through it. You know, we believe God's Word and we believe God's promises, but then when something really comes along that's a crisis or difficult, or we don't see how it's going to work out, or if it can work out, well, then here comes this tug of war that goes on, the war of anxiety and trust, the war of hope and despair, the war of submission and rebellion. We have to learn that is just how it is, and we have to learn to live where we live. And then we remember that great verse. It's a great verse to memorize in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, where Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will complete it on the day of Jesus Christ. There is coming a day when there will be no more tug of war, but we're not there. In this life where we live, and we live in a fallen world, in a fallen body. There is the flesh of us. There is a spirit of us. And there's always this little war between the flesh and the spirit. And sometimes doubt seems to win the war. Sometimes fear seems to win the war. Despair sometimes seems to win the war. Rebellion sometimes seems to win the war. And having said all that, as I was reading this scripture the other day, and I had that little thought go through my mind about my Methodist former dentist in Sulphur Springs gave me some of the best advice I've ever had. You have to learn to live where you live. And what I want to simply do today is encourage you that, you know, don't let Satan make you think that the Bible is not God's Word, or there's something wrong with you. There may be something wrong with you. Well, there is, and me too, called sin. But we're just, you know, we're all going to sin. It doesn't mean that we don't try to not sin, but that's just the way it is in this life. And there are going to be things come along, and our faith is going to be a little weak, and this little thought's going to go through our mind that, you know, this isn't going to happen and this isn't going to work out and all these kind of things. That's this old tug of war. And that's what we have to learn to live in. But there is a solution. Well, the ultimate solution is at Philippians 1:6 when the Lord returns. But in the meantime, what do we do? Well, in the meantime, what we do is we equip ourselves each day for whatever that day may bring forth. See, that's the interesting thing about life. We don't know each day what that day may bring forth. Things can just be going along great guns, and boom, in a moment, in a phone call, in whatever, everything can just change. And so what we have to do is prepare in advance. And the way to do that is every morning, I encourage you, every morning, you fill your mind with some part of God's Word. You just need to get filled up. And I'm not talking about you have to be an hour with the Lord. And don't get discouraged wherever you are. If you're nowhere, get somewhere. And every morning, you know, maybe just a devotional reading will probably refer you to some scripture passage. And one of the things I want to do, and I'm gathering up something to do it, of course I've made available before, but, you know, one of the things, and I was just talking to Pam DeShawn before I came over here, I want us to get some more of these Bible promise books in our church bookstore. And when we get them, I'll move some of you on Tuesday where you don't have to go over there and you can just pick them up on the way out the door. And they'll be very inexpensive, but many of you already have them. Like, where do you read in the Bible if you're discouraged, or if you're going through this, if you're going through that? And it just tells you right what page number to go to and read. And then some, maybe one or two, what would be just wonderful, good little devotional books that won't take long to read, that would just kind of put something in your mind spiritually before you start the day. Because here's what's going to happen. As we get started in our day, not much spiritual is coming our way. It's just to turn TV on, to just see the news is so depressing. I mean, real life stuff. This morning they were interviewing the family that's little daughter drowned in a swimming pool. And they told that story, and my heart just broke as I heard that story. And then you see all these fires out in California and everything so many people have just destroyed. And then things going on all over the world and things going on right where we live. You're just watching all this stuff. And it's not like we need to close our eyes and say stuff's not out there. But look, we can't just put, and then there'll always be a report from Washington. That's enough to put anybody in whatever. But look, we've got to be on the front end. We've got to get ready for the day. You know, I mean, I'm going to get shaved up, cleaned up, and dressed up before I walk out of the house to go to work. I'm going to look good before I leave. Now, I may look bad when I come home, but I'm going to clean up before I go. Well, I want to get filled up in my mind. And it's amazing how, as you go through the day, something you've just read, maybe even that very morning, or some little devotional thought, that's that thing that just kind of reminds you, wait a minute now. In this life, there's going to be this little tug of war, this little war, spiritual war going on between doubt and faith, anxiety and trust. But the deal is, God is real, God's Word is real, and I'm just going to learn to live where I live. And one day, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 is going to be real for you and for me, being confident. Not many things we can be confident, but you can this, of this very thing, that He, God, which hath begun a good work in you, salvation, will complete it on the day of Jesus Christ. God, help us to learn to live where we live spiritually. And we live with a little spiritual war every day. Temptation here, there, discouragement, disappointment, prayers not yet answered. The list is endless. And if we don't understand what's going on, there's just not anything good going to come out of that. But God, there's something we can do about it. And I pray every morning, God, give every person in this room the discipline to get their Bible, get a little devotion book, take just a few minutes, if that's all they have. But God, that little few minutes will make a difference in all their minutes the rest of that day. Bless each one here, God, and make us a blessing as we journey on through this day and week. In Jesus' name, amen.